Good morning. Jesus was right about that one, wasn't he? Many have come in his name saying, I am he. The time is at hand. Still true to this very day. Want to get very rich very quickly? Probably one of the easiest ways is to pick any two verses at random from the book of Revelation. Concoct the wildest possible interpretation you can of them. Move to Southern California and begin a religion. People are constantly doing that. Always have been. And a certain number of people fall for it. Most people sit back quietly and laugh at it. Problem is, while we're sitting back quietly and laughing at it, we're probably quietly going to the other extreme. These people who are, the day is at hand, lead us to ignore the day. Now that's all nonsense. We recognize that is nonsense. So we dismiss the whole topic, thus falling into the American way of, quote unquote, living in the present. But the slogan suggests that we should live only in the present, that we should concentrate on the present. And that's just ridiculous. It leaves the world meaningless. Be a bad movie. I mean, there have been a couple of movies in the past few years about things that just keep repeating and repeating and repeating and nobody notices. You've gone to Waiting for Godot. He gets to the end and starts back at the beginning again. You realize you're caught in this endless loop. Living in the present would be like that. Has no meaning, and it has no purpose. The meaning and purpose of the present come from the past and the future. We need to live in the present, out of the past, into the future. That way our lives have meaning. Look back. How far back can you see? 13.7 billion years, more or less, to the Big Bang. You watch the course of creation. As energy emerges, and then matter, and then life, and then more and more complex forms of life. And you see God over the millions of years, billions of years, quietly calling a universe into existence. And who you are now, and where we stand now, have a whole different context once you see them in terms of the culmination of almost 14 billion years of God's loving the world. And then turn around and look into the future. See where it's going. Listen, as the great mystic of our day, Teilhard de Chardin, did, first to science and then to faith. You see how the two come together in the present moment. The inexorable progress of evolution has become exorable with us. It will go forward or not go forward as we decide, as we act. But God has a dream. God is dreaming about a world, about a kingdom, not the kingdom of France or the kingdom of Great Britain, not a set of borders and a set of time, but a reign, a rule. God is dreaming a world into existence, a kingdom of justice and peace, a kingdom of freedom, a kingdom where things can be and people can be. God has a dream. If there are no dreams, there is no future. There is no future, there is no present. The present is just totally meaningless. We need to live out of the past, in the present, into the future. We'll talk about that a little bit more next week when we celebrate the feast of Christ the King, meditate somewhat on what kingship is about. We'll certainly look at it in the opening weeks of Advent where we talk about the coming of the kingdom and what it will be in its fullness. But the first thing we have to do is to expand our horizons to include those dimensions. If we live only in the present is without meaning. But if we live out of the past, God's past, our past, and into the future, God's dream, God's promise, then the present opens up as a very fertile ground where the history and the dream come together. An action to keep moving from one to the other is possible. Think about it. We need the dream. We need the dream for ourselves. We need the dream for our children. It's one of the things we're supposed to do to make the future happen, is to help our children learn to dream of God, to dream of what God is doing in the world, to dream of what we all can become in God's dream for the world.